2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, I just found out that Senator Mitt Romney is going to be in the building today here at KSL News Radio. Super excited to see him here. And also, he'll be live on Boyd Matheson's show, Inside Sources, at precisely 1:20 today. So you're going to want to stay tuned or tune in for that.
Yeah, Debbie, I'm sorry. I know we're going to go on to the Bernie Sanders criminal justice reform, but do you think let's ask Andrew right now. I just got a text. Your wheat penny?
Plural. Pennies.
Like how many?
Oh, dozens.
Okay, dozens?
Dozens of wheat pennies for my grandpa passed down to me.
Andrew, can we double check what a wheat penny would be worth? When did you receive it?
Oh, when I was a kid, he gave me his whole collection. He collected these for years.
So
dozens of them. And I kept them on my jewelry drawer, and my husband gave them away to my daughter,
which you ended up taking to the
because she put them in her piggy bank, and we ended up throwing them in down one of those machines.
According to our texter on the Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line. This is not going to make your day better. This is not going to improve your day. 1944 wheat penny is worth between $25,000 and $30,000. Debbie!
That right there just defines my life. That defines my financial
life.
No! Yeah,
yeah. A 1944 wheat penny.
Hey. You're looking at the girl who wanted to buy 2 acres in Harriman for $35,000 in the mid-90s and didn't because somebody told her there would be no development out there.
Oh.
You're looking at the girl who bought Geneva Steel stock the day before the company declared bankruptcy. This is my wheat penny life.
Oh, Debbie. A $25,000 coin that was given to a sweet little daughter who put it in the family gumball machine.
Yeah, piggy bank.
Which ended up in...
It's not Lizzie's fault. I don't blame you.
No.
We all know who I blamed.
Sorry. I mean, I know,
right,
I know that wasn't the direction, but I thought we were just kind of chuckling here. Like, oh, yeah, pennies. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, dozens that were just sent to...
Oh, yeah. Dave, I had handfuls of these things that my grandpa had collected for years. He handed them down to me. I don't know if my sister got any. My grandmother on the other side always gave me silver dollars. Anytime I did something outstanding, like, I don't know.
Anything.
Yeah, dry the dishes. She'd
give them for anything.
Yeah, so she'd give me a silver dollars. So I do have several of those in safekeeping, and these things are at least probably 70 years old, I would think, because I'm 52.
You still have them?
I still have them. Am I good? Am I golden? Let's look up how much those things are worth. Hey, want to move on to the discussion if I can continue.
Sorry.
I need a little oxygen here. It's okay.
Deep breath here,
Deb. I'm broke. I've embraced being broke. I don't want to have a windfall of money because that would just mean I could quit my job, and I just love being on the radio.
I have a headache for you. Don't worry about it.
So this story caught my eye. Democratic candidate for president Bernie Sanders calling our criminal justice system dysfunctional. Yes, it's dysfunctional. But he wants to reform every aspect of it. And he says at the center of it is the for-profit greed in the system, according to Bernie. A lot of that goes back to the privately owned prisons. I mean, some states are getting away from that. But I wanted to delve into it because I'm always very curious about our criminal justice system and how it is or isn't working.
Yeah, everything I know about the prison system, I learned from Shawshank Redemption.
But I'm telling you, these walls are funny. First you hate them, then you get used to them. Enough time passes, you get so you depend on them. That's institutionalized.
They send you here for life. That's exactly what they take.
Ooh, Morgan Freeman laying it down, telling the truth, speaking it.
So Sanders, Bernie Sanders, he wants to gut the criminal justice system. He says, well, it's barbaric.
What it is dealing with a barbaric and dysfunctional criminal justice system, which has very, very little to do with justice.
And I wanted to delve into this because we have seen crime across Utah grow. And sometimes we say it takes a dip and then other times it skyrockets. And I think it's important to address how we are fighting crime. And first thing he wants to do is abolish the death penalty. And of course, the minute I saw that, Dave, I thought about you and your family.
Yeah, there's that's a side that has been hotly debated. Should we have the death penalty? And my feeling has always been this. There are certain crimes that are so heinous and so diabolical, that are so evil, that the only justice is the death penalty. And we've seen that it's not used very often. It's not used often at all. So the few times that it does happen, it is reserved for those that are truly heinous in their crime.
Let's get back to that discussion for just a moment. But right now, we're going to go to some breaking news. Out of the Salt Lake County Health Department, they have just announced the first human case of West Nile virus in the county this year. The infected person is an adult who's been diagnosed with neuroinvasive West Nile virus. Apparently, that is a more severe form of the disease. That person remains hospitalized. And we are working on gathering a lot more details about this. You know, this is one of those things, Dave, where I read about it and I kind of gloss over it because I haven't really heard that much about it. But I know they've been testing mosquitoes and they've found it in mosquitoes. Well, now we have the first human case of West Nile virus in Salt Lake County this year.
Yeah, and this is something that has kind of come and gone several times over the last few years where it kind of springs up and then dissipates.
But it reminds me that I don't spray myself with Off enough, especially if I'm sitting outside in the backyard, which I do just about every night. I kind of tend to blow off. And
yeah.
This is going to be a good reminder that it's just literally right at the back door that I'm going to be spraying myself with that stuff.
Yeah, because it smells awful. It feels icky.
Well, I feel like you have to take a shower right after it. It's gross. But We just got word into the newsroom. We've got our team of reporters and producers working this story to figure out more about this first human case of West Nile virus in Salt Lake County.
I can't believe it's been around as long as it has, Debbie. I remember doing stories on this, but this goes back to August of 2003. So it's been around for 16 years now, and it does creep up. So the first case of West Nile virus has now been
Confirmed
here in Salt Lake, was it?
Salt Lake County.
Yeah.
By the Salt Lake County Health Department. We will continue to gather those details throughout the day right here at KSL News Radio. As always, we have our team of reporters and producers on any breaking news. As it happens, you're going to hear it here first. I want to continue the discussion about Bernie Sanders' plan to just gut the criminal justice system, because there is one thing in the plan that I really have to roll my eyeballs at. I don't think it'll make us safer. In fact, I think it'll put public safety at risk.
Dave and Dujanovic. Talk all day.
Dave and Debbie at 9.
In the heat, I'm slowing down.
Are we being babies about
it? Lloyd Matheson at 12:30.
Even if you run, what is going to make that worth it?
On KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Okay, can I finish what I was saying now?
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders wants to gut our criminal justice system. He calls it dysfunctional. He's got a lot to say about how bad our system is.
And the folks that we have in jail are disproportionately poor, disproportionately minority, African-American, Latino, Native American. We spend, and I want everybody to hear this, $80 billion a year of taxpayers' money at the local, state, and federal level to lock up fellow Americans.
Okay, so we're just going to say, nah, that costs a lot. I know if you break the law, we're going to give you a good old, you know, hand slap and then turn you loose. Like, who does he think is in the criminal justice system?
So, besides wanting to abolish the death penalty, which we talked about in the last segment, he also wants to raise the age that we can charge children in adult courts to 18. And I have something to say about that. You cannot do this. You have got to leave it to the local prosecutors. You cannot make this an across-the-board federal law, federal rule that we don't charge 17 and 16-year-olds because we are seeing very heinous crimes committed by 17-year-olds and 16-year-olds and 15-year-olds.
Yeah, Debbie, and this is something that we have actually seen. And as we have talked to police officers, even here in Utah, we know that certain gangs will purposely take younger kids and have them commit crimes because the idea is, oh, they'll be much more lenient on these young kids. So they are actually co-opting them, grabbing them, and forcing them into these kind of crimes and saying, well, they're only 15, they're only 16, they're only 17. You can't do anything about it.
Bernie Sanders is onto something, certainly when he says the criminal justice system is dysfunctional. We've seen problems within our own state. I'm not convinced that his plan is going to make us any safer or is going to solve any problems. It may, in fact, create more problems. One of the big issues that I take issue with under his newly unveiled plan is that he wants to create an unarmed civilian corps of first responders. So, Dave, you and I would suit up and we'd go out and respond to low-level issues like homelessness and mental health emergencies. And we have no clue between the two of us how to handle these things.
No idea.
You're going to take a class?
Absolutely no idea.
We can barely handle our own mental state sometimes in
this
booth.
So we're going to go out there and take care of business, take care of the homeless problem.
And I'd love to get Mr. Sanders in a room and ask him this question. What defines a low-level crime? Because my very good friend Doug Barney was shot and killed in the line of duty in 2016, responding to a traffic accident. A traffic accident generally may not even be a crime. I mean, this happened to be a hit and run, but certainly not at the moment that they were responding, did they know what they had on their hands? And,
exactly.
You know, what is a low-level crime? And the second reason I don't think this would work is because of a woman by the name of Jill Robinson. And we probably don't recognize her name the way we should, the way we recognize Doug's name. She was the code enforcement officer serving a citation on a messy yard in West Valley City, and she was shot and killed.
Yes.
You know, is that even a crime? No, it may not even be a crime.
Well,
but she's approaching a door.
Yep.
And she has no idea what it lies on the other side in wait.
Yeah, you have no idea. That's the thing. Every traffic stop, every time an officer pulls somebody over on the freeway, they have no idea. They just don't. As much as they've been trained, they have no idea whether their life is in danger in that moment.
I'm okay mostly with a neighborhood watch program. I don't have a lot of heartburn. What I have is when they stop the car, get out, and they try to...
Yes.
You know, I don't know, resolve a dispute and then suddenly they're caught up in it. They, you know, somebody's running away and they try to jump out of the car. It's kind of like why these stores have policies that don't give chase policies. It doesn't matter how many pair of jeans the bad guy's running out the door with, let him go. It's because they know these things go south real quickly.
Well, there's a huge difference between observe and report and confront. As soon as you start crossing over into confrontation, absolutely, that has to be your police officers. Any confrontation needs to be somebody that has been in the experience, that has a knowledge of how to de-escalate, or in some cases, how to escalate the situation and force someone to comply with their commands. This is something that you and I have no experience with. And the idea that you're going to put me in charge is ridiculous. I have no interest in that. That's why we have police officers.
But mostly you're a peacemaker.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we come in here. I come in here. I'm all wound up. Got my hair on fire almost every day. And you kind of calm the situation down. How would you feel taking that same gift that you have in the newsroom mostly out to Pioneer Park? Because there are a lot of homeless issues. There are a lot of low-level crimes going on there. And, then, of course, there's the drug dealing that's been going on for years and people buying and selling in the open-air market. But how would you feel if you were in charge of that?
I'd feel overwhelmed.
And you're a big guy.
Ill-prepared.
You're a big guy.
And in danger. And I am. And physically, I could probably take care of myself. Until someone pulls a gun. And then what am I going to do? If someone pulls a knife, what am I going to do? That's where I think the problem is. So often people, lawmakers, are so far removed and so insulated to what real danger is, what real crime is, how victims have been brutalized, and how families are trying to stitch their lives back together after heinous crimes. The idea of having a prison and a jail for people that break the rules or break the law is actually a fundamental of our society. We have to be able to say, you broke the law, you're going away.
Bernie Sanders wants to revamp the criminal justice system, calls it barbaric.
What it is dealing with a barbaric and dysfunctional criminal justice system, which has very, very little to do with justice.
Once again, I agree that we need to take a serious look at revamping it. We haven't, some of the measures we've put in place here just haven't gone far enough. Some of them gone too far. Maybe not enough people have been sitting at the table when some of these decisions have been made. But there's certain things that Sanders points out that, quite frankly, bug me. They concern me, make me feel like these, you know, crime could go up under some of his ideas. One thing I did like what he said was this, Dave, is that take some of that $80 billion that we're spending as a country, and that's just at the federal level. That didn't even include what we're spending at the local level, and reach out more to the youth. Educational programs.
Prevention.
At a very young age, he felt that that was lacking and there needs to be more attention to detail on that. And I would agree with him on that.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that's where the federal money comes from. That's probably something that needs to be taken care of on our local side of things with local funds, because our local police know how best to take care of their community. Anytime you got the feds coming in, swooping in with their, oh, I got a simple fix and throw money at it, just doesn't work.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.